Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale, and Stockport.
Well, there we go.
Our Merseyside legends.
Through Aldridge outside the penalty.
John Aldridge
gets the ball into his left foot. Brilliant.
And Graham Sharp.
Graham Sharp, whose season has suddenly turned into gold.
0151 472 0967. It's the legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. Welcome along to the show. I'm Steve Hothersall in the studio tonight. We've got the two old timers. Got Sharpie. Legs are creaking. Aldo, looking a little bit older. In fact, he's got a grey vest on. We'll find out a bit more about that one very shortly indeed. We've got a younger version. We've got a young striker in to teach him a tale or two. It's Robbie Fowler. Welcome to you all, chaps. You okay?
I'm good, thank you.
Great to have you all. What was that like seeing Aldo in a vest out in the reception area before, Robbie?
I was just thinking Rab C. Nesbitt.
Brilliant.
Jeez, Rob.
Absolutely brilliant. Look, we had Owen McVeigh, and people will have been to the game and seen the giant banner of Owen's dad holding Owen's hand. And, of course, Owen tragically passed away only 3 or 4 days after getting diagnosed with leukaemia. They're launching a foundation. They were in here to do an interview about the foundation. The guys bumped into them, put the T-shirts on. That was how we saw you in a vest, which I don't want to see again, I don't think ever, John.
Underweight, what are you doing? Doing an arm wrestle.
But we're going to help promote that foundation throughout the next few weeks. Incredible, incredible story, and Mum and Dad doing really good work. Look, guys, great to see you all here. Wembley yesterday, still really fresh in the minds. What time did you get home, lads?
Just before one.
Yeah, I was half 12, mate.
Driving, it's a nightmare coming out with a car, isn't it? It's horrendous.
Yeah, we need a Wembley to note, don't we?
I was in the pub at 8 o'clock celebrating. Yeah.
Sharpie came in and said, it's going to be a great show tonight. We're talking about Wembley.
No, it's not.
Not a good attitude.
No, but listen, we all thought before and listened to everybody thinking there was going to be goals in the game. It was probably tighter than what people thought. There was chances missed. But listen, we all know what a horrible way to lose, you know, on penalties.
Yeah.
You know, horrible. Horrible, yeah.
What do you make of the penalties as a whole, Rob? When you were watching them unfold, were you a bit wondering why those five were the first five in the penalty shootout? Or
yes, I was, actually. I think we all have seen the report. You know, Henderson maybe should have stepped up, being a captain, took one. You know, even if he'd have missed, I don't think anyone would have said anything, would they? I think the fact is that, you know, he's showing a bit of a cojones and getting up. I think that would have... I don't know, I think that would have sent a message, I think. Sturridge, you know, the manager's come out and said, you know, he was injured. I don't know if that was the case, but look, it's up to the manager to, you know, to get the best players, and if they put their hands up, then, you know, you've got to let them take the penalty. And look, watching it from a fan, I'll be honest, I was probably more nervous watching that than I was when I mean, I've been in penalty shootout myself, and I was more nervous watching.
If you two took penalties, if you were cramped up and all that, you'd still fancy taking one.
Oh, you got to take one.
You still fancy taking one. You don't know the extent of his injury, so we're probably oversetting the mark there, but
Sturridge couldn't have taken one. We don't know that.
But you don't know, but what I'm saying is, he still was a striker wanting to take a penalty, wouldn't
he? Yeah,
I'm stepping up. You'd even have to go and blast it down the middle.
But he has took a couple of penalties, and not been great. He missed one against Everton for the hat-trick that time, I remember, and he hasn't had one since. I don't think he could have took one personally. He was absolutely knackered.
He was limping right at the end when he did the game, but, you know, 30 seconds before he was walking about. So,
I would have fancied the penalty.
I mean, all those, Sharpie, you must have missed the penalty.
I missed one in the derby.
Yeah, there you go, brilliant. that's a part and parcel. I mean, I've missed penalties, but the important thing is, I mean, I know all those saying that Sturridge missed one. Get up and take the next one, and you'll feel better.
Is how you miss it a problem at all? People are talking about Coutinho today, didn't they?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what their goalkeeper did. You know, Coutinho was the worst one because he got his technique wrong. He didn't do right. I mean, I've done that. Robbie's done that. But he got his technique wrong. But their goalie, he worked it well. He's obviously, they do the own work really well. Like Lucas always, he's put his penalty against Stoke exactly where that one went. It's a good pen. But the goalie stepped out one yard and then went and had a guess at that way. And he pulled off some really good saves. Lallana's was an excellent save. Mignolet was inches. He read every one, but their penalties were brilliant. Everyone went into the side net and just inside the post and won it the post. So our penalties, they were a lot better than us, you know. And it's, you know, anything can happen in penalties, can't it?
Yeah. Well, what's the hardest thing when you put in that moment on such a big occasion?
Everybody expects you to score, and it's not as easy as that. You know, the pressure is...
Does the keeper look magnified?
No, but is it's it? Like, yeah, I mean, people say, oh, he should score a penalty easy, but everything that goes with it. You know,
there's no pressure on a goalkeeper.
No, there's no pressure on a goal.
It's the bottle. Yeah. It's keeping your bottle and being really confident that you're going to score. I think gets you through most of the time. You're going to miss sometimes, as Robbie said. Of course you are.
If you look at the Emery Chan one, so what happens if the goalkeeper stands up?
What a fantastic penalty.
And he just catches it. You know, so he's got the confidence to do that. He's got the confidence to do that, you know, which... You know, as I said, if the keeper stays still, he catches it and it makes him look a fool. Yeah. Like Ross Barkley done one the other week as well, the same sort of thing. People call it confidence, but I would take more confidence in stepping up and somebody rapping at top corner.
Yeah.
Top corner, bang. No chance. And then you think, right, we're up for this. You know, sometimes that sets a little precedent, you know. We're taking the mickey a little bit here, you know, what's happening here. And the goalkeeper wouldn't have thanked him. So the goalkeeper will then be thinking, nobody's taking the mickey out of me now. So it gives him an extra incentive to save the next one.
I agree with that.
Good point. It's a good point. Mm.
I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but sometimes if you do score the first goal, you tend to be on the losing side, don't you? You can score too early in a penalty. Don't want to dwell on it. I thought Liverpool did good in particular points in the game. They had some good moments, didn't they, after they'd scored. They dominated, couldn't convert it more.
When we were talking before me and Rob, when Milner went left-back and Origi...
Well, he was sensational at left-back, wasn't he?
We were so much better balanced, you know, and Origi was stretching them, whereas before... Daniel Sturridge was dropping into midfield. We were playing like a 4-6 north, and their two centre-halves, Otamendi and company, we had cigars in because everyone was playing in front of them and no one was running behind. All of a sudden, Origi come in and he was asking different questions.
Yeah, I thought we were bang average, if I'm being honest. Yeah. I think,
for the whole game?
No, for 80 minutes. You know, obviously, when Origi came on, as all of a sudden, he made the defenders change their mentality, you know. And look, Milner went over. Emre Can, for me, he takes too many touches from midfield play. You know, wants to run forward all the time. And when you're playing in a major final against the teams like Man City and some of the class players you've got, you can't afford to be running forward and leaving big spaces because the likes of Silva or whoever's in there, they're going to hurt you. And that's what he was doing. And I thought even when, obviously, Origi came on, Milner went to left back and Can seemed to play in front of the back four. And he took, you know, one or two touches as opposed to, you know, four, five and six where he was doing, you know, early part of the game.
I thought Man City had the better chances. You know, after many of the save, you know, or his mistakes, sorry. You know, he made some good he did make some good saves.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I was just saying to Aldo before, City weren't great. City weren't great to me. You know, I thought they were better than Liverpool on the day, but I don't think they were great. I still think they were there for the taking. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at Yaya Touré at times and I think... doesn't do anything going defensively. You know, he wants to just...
He doesn't do that, does he?
You're thinking, and Sterling wasn't playing well. So there wasn't many outstanding performers for Man City. So it's not as if they rolled Liverpool over. They didn't. I agree with Robbie. I thought Liverpool were average for... Yeah.
They were comfortable, sharp. He wasn't sitting you know, for 80 minutes. Yeah. He looked as though they were in first gear. I thought, as much as they went brilliant, we were...
One thing you could knock Liverpool for, like, Aston Villa was horrendous when we got beaten in the semi-final. The players gave everything there. And we weren't good enough. If we have Aguero, if we had someone like Aguero up front, we probably would
have. Well, in other words, it's not a good enough group yet, is it?
No, to be consistently winning cups. Absolutely not.
And I think, you know, and Jurgen's working that out, isn't he? Bit by bit. Yeah. He's understanding how good his squad is.
Yeah. We hope so, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, well, they've got a taster anyway. And of course, you're going to be mates with a billionaire now, Sharpie. A couple of weeks ago, you were telling us about these Americans. Were you giving us a curveball?
No, well, everybody thought the Americans were coming in. They were the ones that were getting mooted as being the next owners, but this just came from nowhere. I don't know whether it was all to do with the fact that he sold his shares in Arsenal to his pal, who's been off, and that we gave him the time to get the money up front and then move into Everton. Listen, everybody's singing from the rooftops, but you just don't know what you're going to get. We'll just have to wait and see. I'd like to think it's positive, you know, 100%. I'd love to say I'm 100% sure what's going to happen, but I don't know what's going to happen next. You know, what's he going to invest in? Is he going to invest in the team? Is he going to deliver a new stadium? What do the punters want first? Do they want a successful team or do they want a new stadium? So still a long way to go, but certainly it's a step in the right direction if we're led to believe everything that we've read in the papers, that, you know, what he's all about, and he's a billionaire. But let's wait and see. The only thing I was just saying to Dave, the producer, before, it'll be interesting to see how do they move forward. Now, if it was me and I was investing that money, I would say to the likes of the manager, he stays, John Stone stays, Romelu Lukaku stays. They're on contracts for me the next 3-4 years. We ain't selling them next year. That's immaterial what they do in the Euros. That would make a stance. And I know we always say you don't want to keep unhappy players, but if he came in and said, right, okay, we're going to move them forward, in 2 years' time, if they manage to get in Champions League or whatever, then there's the progression. But if he comes in now and lets the players go,
it doesn't set them back.
Do you think that it's as easy as that, though? You know, we've seen clubs in the past where players are saying, I want to go.
I don't think it's
that simple.
They're too strong now, aren't they?
Suarez is a prime example. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, and everybody says it. If once a player wants to go, he can go. But I think it would make a statement of intent if he said, listen, I've come on here, board. I want to see Stones, Bartley, Lukaku all grown together as a team. Whether they can make that happen, as Robbie says, whether they can make that happen, and whether Champions League is always the attraction for players, they want to go and do that. Lukaku has a good summer, Stones has a good summer, Bartley has a good tournament. Mm. There'll be people fishing around. I'd like to see that group stay together, but whether they can or not.
But he's got to sell the club to them. You know, if the lads, you know, respect Everton, the fans, the culture, everything about Everton, then they owe it to the fans, them players, your men, and the new fella to give him a chance, 12 months.
Yeah.
Grace to say, well, all right, we'll see if he does. Mm. You know, all these promises come. Mm. We will stay for 12 months. See if the players come in, and you go from there. Mm. You know, I think if he goes in the summer early on and gets 2 or 3 big players and splashes out, then it sets the president them to say, well, all right, then I'm going to give it 12 months and see if we get a Champions League. Yeah.
Okay, you might want to comment on that. 0151 472 0967. It's the Radio City Legends. Delighted we got Robbie Fowler in tonight. And there is an important reason why we got Robbie in. It revolves around the charity, Cash for Kids. Robbie is the Darren Clark of the golf world.
A little bit thinner, though.
Was that a bad example?
He likes Guinness as much as Darren Clark. That's about that,
I perhaps could have phrased that a bit better. Martin Keimer, he's lost a bit of weight. He's quite trendy, isn't he, Darren Clark? Anyway, Robbie, go on, do the big reveal. What is it that we're going to have right here on Merseyside in a couple of months' time?
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to organise a Ryder Cup-style golf event, and it's going to be Liverpool ex-players against Everton ex-players, and we've got two of our members of the Liverpool Ryder Cups, and myself and myself and Aldo, and I think Sharpie's struggling to get a team. So we're going to have 12 players. We're going to have morning foursomes and afternoon singles. So it's going to be it's going to be really good. And you know, we played a similar game last year against Manchester United, and all our lads loved her. We put the tee boxes with the advertising ordinance around her, and it was probably more nerve wracking there than what I ever was. Brilliant. You know, playing football. So, Sharpie will be feeling the nerves, I'm sure of that.
Who won?
What
I was going to say, was it an honest handicapping system? Because I've looked at some of your team, by the way.
Sharpie,
he's honest. He's running scared already, Sharpie.
He's getting bullshit.
The problem was Man United cheated because they brought in some firemen who we didn't know who played for them. Dodgy handicaps. Firemen, come on. They couldn't get 12 players, so they brought these couple of people who were bandits.
It was organised, you know, in a relatively short time. But this one is, I mean, it's been obviously a little bit of a work in progress. Mm. We'll have 12 proper Liverpool players, and I'm sure Sharpie will.
Give us an example. Who's going to be on the red side? Just a teaser.
We've got myself, we've got Gary McAllister, Aldo, who else have we got? Gary Gillespie's going to play.
Single handicap.
Steve Arkin's going to play. Who else? I'm not sure who else, but we have got 12.
Jamie Redknapp's
down to play.
Single handicaps.
Paddy Berger can't play. He might be over in Florida, but he might be coming over. I'm interested in Sharpie's team.
Well, he signed up Big Dave, our producer, because he's quite desperate.
We're not struggling that much.
So you're Davis Love, you're the US captain.
We've got myself, Snods. Hey, let me see. Snods is good off his handicap.
Yeah,
it's 15 now, I think.
Yeah, he's always been a shark.
Graham Stewart, Diamond, Rats, Derek Mountfield, hopefully Don Hutchinson, Sangi. Hopefully, there's a squad there, so I've got my work cut out to whittle down to 12. But what we will have is we'll have an honest crew. Duncan, for the handicaps.
There's going to be nothing honest about this
Duncan,
day,
have you Duncan a shout?
Duncan, no, he doesn't like golf, Duncan.
No.
Just be a...
Oh, Duncan McKenzie!
Yeah. I think you meant Duncan Ferguson.
No, Duncan McKenzie.
No, I'm not sure if he's...
He can pay, you know,
he's not.
Yeah?
I'm not sure if he's...
What's the format of the day, then? So, half and half, yeah? Singles...
No, we're going in the morning, so it'll be, I don't know, maybe 8 o'clock, 8.30 tea time. We'll have foursomes right in the morning. And then in the afternoon, we're going to have the singles. And then, we'll try and have a few drinks afterwards when we're picking up the trophy.
Would that be excruciating if the Reds were picking up the first trophy?
I don't mind if it's done in an honest manner. That's all I'm saying to you.
Can we reveal the name of the trophy?
Well, I don't see why not.
Yeah, is that...
Yeah.
Howard Kendall, it's obviously a real poignant time for Evertonians. Yeah. So the Howard Kendall and...
It's the Howard Kendall and...
Paisley. Yeah, Bob Paisley.
Yeah, Bob Howard Kendall. Mm. So it'd be the Paisley-Kendall Cup. Yeah.
Paisley-Kendall Cup. Absolutely.
That'll be good.
First of many.
Yeah, it'd be really good.
And look, knowing all you lot, you're so competitive.
Yeah.
That there is going to be a whole load of moaning and fighting and a little bit of cheating from all of
them. Sledging. It's going to be a bit of sledging.
There's going to be loads of sledging, isn't there? Have we mentioned the course where this is taking place yet?
Not yet, no.
Is that under... Have we booked it?
No, we have booked it. The course is obviously West Lanks. West Lanks.
Liverpool team play there, their members here.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, you're a running scared already, Sharp, isn't it?
Now, the important thing about this is it's for cash for kids. So we've got to raise lots of money. And the winning team will have £10,000, which they will send to Cash for Kids. Yep. But as well as that, and Robin is organising all. He's in the back of the studio at the moment, trying not to keep on the microphone. But am I right in saying, Robin, we're basically going to auction off the chance to be caddies for some of the lads? Yeah, he's nodding furiously. Mm-hmm. So I think what we'll do is we'll have a short break here. I'll work out how we're going to do that auctioning over the coming weeks. We'll get some of the players on week by week. Mm-hmm. So maybe a blue one day, red another day. And then we'll build up to the big occasion, which is April the...
29th.
Oh, looking forward to that. Mm. Once played with John down in South Wales, he threw his club into a bush after two holes.
And he left it there.
I was going to say, that's normally longer than what he normally should. That's normally after the first hole.
Right, I'll give you your first clue on look who's scoring. So, right, get this player. Former Liverpool player, played 67 times for the Reds and scored one goal. 67 times he played for the Reds, scored one goal. And he played for a total of 8 English clubs. And he's a League Cup runner-up. That's your first clues. So 67 games for the Reds. Scored once.
I think I've got her.
Have you? Hang on.
I've not seen the paper before we come in.
This could be a world record.
I haven't lined up my... Oh, here we go.
Why is it a red again? It was a red on Friday.
Go on, have a little gamble if you want, Robbie.
Jason McAteer.
No.
Oh.
No, we're going to a break.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Oh, the boys are racking their brains for those clues which we've just given on Look Who's Scoring. We'll give them another one in just a moment or two. Right, today marks 8 years since this man joined Liverpool as a defensive midfielder, since rebranding himself as a top centre-half.
And Schuer down the left-hand side. Aurelio, he's not seen much of the ball in the early exchanges. And Schuer again. Mascherano from 30 yards. Fancies the pot to go. Took a deflection. And it deceives Tim Howard, who is going to his right. The ball's gone to his left. And Javier Mascherano has scored his first goal of the season. He'll certainly claim it. It took a wicked deflection. And 11 minutes in, Liverpool have the lead at Goodison Park.
It's against the run of play out. First real opportunity we've had, you know, and Mascherano's got the ball. A bit of space, break it well. Awful deflection from an Everton perspective. It's going, the goalie had it covered and it's gone in the opposite side. Tim Howard had no chance whatsoever to stop it.
Javier Mascherano, 8 years ago since he joined Liverpool, top defensive midfielder. Right, the boys have been cheating a spread since it was just Sharpie and Aldo. All of a sudden now, Robin, who's come in with Robbie, is helping him cheat to try and get the answers to this.
We talked about the golf before and how honest it was going to be.
Well, it ain't going to be, is it? It ain't going to be. Right, so here's the clue. Former Liverpool player, played 67 games for the Reds, scoring just once. Played in 8 English clubs. He's a League Cup runner-up. He's won 2 trophies in his time with Liverpool. That'll give you more. Of course, Robbie said Jason McAteer, so you can put a line through that one straight away, can't you? And despite being in the twilight of his career, he's eligible to play for another country, even at this stage, as his two international caps have come in friendlies. Any ideas? Two international caps, but they've both been
again.
In friendlies.
Yeah, again. Do that last
okay,
one.
Despite being in the twilight of his career... Yeah. So the twilight might give you an idea of how old he is. He's eligible to play for another country, even at this stage, because his two international caps have come in friendlies. No ideas? Do you want to throw any more into the pot?
Well, I was going to say Gary Mack, but the fact is that he's got more than two caps.
He played for Scotland.
He's in the twilight of his career.
In international games.
Oh, boys. Big Dave stumped you with this little fella, hasn't he?
Oh, he's a little fella. Oh, he's giving away.
who's leading, by the way, in this competition?
What is it? But you've had loads of numpties. In here. Gary Gillespie hasn't won one when he's been on. And
Dominic Mascio won, didn't he? I'm sure one of them did
Sharpies
well.
Sharpies on ahead, by the way.
Okay, just to give you a little bit more context as to the golf, and we were talking about the golf earlier on. So we've got our own Ryder Cup. It's Paisley Kendall Cup, which is taking place on the 29th of April. The lads at Five Times and Robbie are putting this on, Blues versus Reds, and we'll give you a chance throughout the course of the next few weeks to learn a little bit more about how you can get involved in sponsorship, raising some great money for charity, Cash for Kids. So things like sponsoring to be the caddy for the day, headline sponsors, maybe a hole on the course, something like that. There'll be something that everyone can maybe get involved with, but it's sure to be absolutely brilliant. 29th of April, Reds versus Blues. And already we've had an idea of some of the guys who are going to take part in that competition. Right, have you got one? Brilliant. Have you got a name? You got a name to throw out?
No, it's stumped me for the moment.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm glad I never got it before, though, because it would have ruined the show, wouldn't it?
Oh, believe me, Sharpie tries to do that every week.
So he's still playing now?
I'll tell you what, I'll give you the other clues, because this will just finish it off. Right, a former manager of his said, he gives us something we didn't have with Lucas Neal. I like his attitude in the game. I like his attitude in the game.
What's Lucas Neal while you're about there?
He wants to get up to people, to put pressure on people, and he just fits the bill as far as I'm concerned. His only ever Liverpool goal has come against Fulham. That's meant to be the easiest clue.
Gives you something different to Lucas Neal.
He's obviously played for Blackburn, hasn't he? Blackburn or West Ham?
First one, maybe.
Blackburn.
Oh, come on.
I'm thinking...
You still must see him all the time. Should I give you the... Dave, should I give him the club he plays for now? No, Dave's saying no.
It's not David Thompson.
He's a left-footer.
It's not David Thompson.
We've got to finish this off now, because you're going to sit there. What else? What else can I tell you about him? First name is the same first name as mine.
Steve Warnock.
I got there first! By a split second, Rob.
No, they kind of give him that one. There's too many clues being given out.
I've got them in the end.
Oh, come on. What did you want?
In fact, no, all those got it wrong.
Oh.
It's not Steve, it's Stephen Warnock.
Yeah, it's a good point.
If it was on catchphrase, he'd have got it wrong, wouldn't he? Yeah.
Your bad English has been exposed there, John. Stephen Warnock. Great clue. 6-6 in the competition now.
Go on in. What?
6-6?
Yeah, good.
Just like the golf.
What was eight teams?
What were his eight teams? Yeah. I'd have to Wikipedia
still
it.
Still available
he's
now,
at Derby, isn't he? I did a show with him last week on LFC TV.
Nice lad.
I think he's been slightly frozen out of the frame there. Mm. The new manager's come in and told him that he's looking at other players. So, go on, give us a few of them. Derby, Liverpool,
Leeds, Villa,
Blackburn,
Bradford. Blackburn, Coventry.
Bradford, Coventry, and... Are we sure one more there?
I didn't even know Bradford, to be honest.
Mm. There you go. Stephen Warnock. You might not have heard all this competition week by week, Robbie, but so far, who have we had as some of the names?
Oh, Insua was bad enough. And
Emiliano Insua.
That was a shocker.
There was a great one.
Carroll Taylor.
We had Roy Evans in here.
Barnsley.
We had Titi Kamara, and Roy Evans was in here, and you couldn't get it. And then Big Dave showed him a picture of Titi, and he went, I don't know who he is.
He still couldn't get it.
Is that not the best thing ever? he didn't know who it was. Right, let's get back, before we get to the footy, a quick one on you at the moment, the work you're doing as well, Robbie, in terms of the Robbie Fowler Academy. You've got a big open day coming, 14th of March as well. Just tell us briefly about the academy. How's it worked and how's it grown?
Yeah, it's fantastic. We started it in, well, we had an open day last January. We've had all the kids in. Obviously, this school year, 50 kids so far, and now we're doing an open day, and obviously the date you've just said. And look, it's been fantastic. The kids have loved her. You know, we got to the semi-finals of the National College Cup. And look, the kids basically are going in, to studying for, sports scientists, physical, obviously
physical education. So they're sort of 16 to 19 years old, that sort of age group, is that right?
Yeah, it'd be like a sixth form.
Right.
A sixth form college, essentially. But, so far the kids have loved her. And we've had, obviously, letters from parents, parents phoning up saying, the kids, can't wait. To come back into the college because they've enjoyed it. Parents whose kids didn't really want to go to school, but they've come in and they've excelled with us. Mm. And I say we're doing it an open day soon to try and get more kids for next season. I was going to say next year.
So where are you based, Robbie?
We're based in Waverley Sports Centre. Mm-hmm. We've got obviously all the facilities.
It's good
we've got
there,
the gym. Yeah, we've got the gym, the pool. Obviously the football pitch. We play games. A college, a national college league of a Wednesday afternoon. Look, fundamentally, it's not about you're going to get a career in football.
No,
it's for kids who maybe
who struggled in mainstream education and who maybe not as good at maths and English, but they were good.
Come
at,
in, but there's other ways into football through obviously the
sports
science. Yeah. The physios, the PT training. Mm-hmm. So it gives the kids a chance maybe to further educate themselves and maybe go to college, through us.
Brilliant. How many sort of spaces are there to get involved in this? I mean, you can go on your Twitter feed and find a bit more information, that's right, isn't it? At Robbie9Fowler to get some more information through the links on there, but... Is that right? Is that right? I'm being told. Yeah, Robin behind you says that's the correct way to do it.
Of course, it's Robin said that's the.
But how many sort of space? If there's people out there thinking, oh, well, I quite fancy that, and that could be something I could be involved with. Is it easy to get on it or not?
Well, look, yeah, I think so. I think, as I say, we've got the open day on, what did you say?
14th of March.
14th
yeah.
of March. So, I mean, the more people that come, the better. You can fill out an application, get yourselves there, and obviously we'll vet them then. And look, we're not gonna. If I sound stupid, we're not gonna let every single person because we haven't got the facilities to let everyone in. But I think we're probably gonna look for maybe another 50 plus to come in. And look, it's exciting times. I think last year we were a little bit blind going into her, but the kids are fantastic, and the kids have loved her. And look, that's the ethos of it. If the kids are enjoying getting educated, then they enjoy going into the college. So.
How many kids are last year there, Rob?
We've got 51, I think, this year now. So next year we're going to get more. So obviously there's a chance of, obviously, the coaching courses, and all that. So we're going to get, a few of the ex-players to, maybe Liverpool, Everton to come in and coach them. Mm. We're a licensed coach is now doing all the coaching. And we've got all the, the correct teachers were Ofsted. Excellent as well. So we're definitely going the right way.
Do you need a penalty coach? All those available.
Team player in Sharpie.
But it's really good because football's so big in the city. It has been, always will be. And this is another avenue. But football kids love football in the city. This is another avenue to go down.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Right, here's a little bit more information you can find. So if you go on to https://fivetimes.co.uk/FEFA, that's FEFA, - open eve. I'll tell you what I'll do, I'll put it on our Twitter feed.
You can copy it as well. The Five Times website, or the Five Times
that's
Twitter
feed. That's the way to do it.
And then, obviously, all the links and information will be there.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant stuff. We're going to take a short break. We'll take some calls from you guys next. Reds or Blues, 0151 4720 967.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Right, what are we playing now? Good birthday Yes, on the legend. He's going to celebrate this man's birthday. Yesterday, he was 42 years old.
Kilbane surging forward left side for Everton. He's worked it to Graveson wide. It's a teasing cross towards Cahill. He can't get there. It drops inside the box for Bent. Now Osman right side, trying to bamboozle him. Breaks to Carsley with a shot. Fires it through. He's done it. Lee Carsley, so often the unsung hero. He's definitely the hero for Everton. Everton lead the 200th Merseyside derby. It's the five-year wait for a victory coming to an end. We shall see. But Lee Carsley fires one home from the edge of the box. And it is Everton 1, Liverpool 0.
Is he really 42? Has Dave got the ages right there? 42 years old.
He's older, do you think he's younger than that?
No, I thought he was older than that.
No.
Tell him that.
Well, okay. Right, but before we get to the callers, earlier on, Dave put out on Twitter, he obviously said Robbie was coming in. So he basically said, what are some of the people worth these days? A few people tweeted in. This is outrageous. Aldo and Robbie are worth 100 million each. Sharpie, I'd give a fiver for.
Yeah. You sending yourself texts?
Let's get to the phone lines. First caller on today's Radio City Legends, Tony, who's in Wavertree. Evening, Tony. How are you?
Hello, lads.
Are you red or blue?
I'm red.
Ah, right. What do you want to talk about, pal?
Just about John there. Surprise, he's in there. We had to carry him off the scene last night.
I wasn't that bad, by the way. Give us another half an hour, I would have been just drowning my sorrows.
Of course, everyone
has
zinc on the scene as well,
Sharpie. No, I'm not having that. That was a fair. He must have been drunk.
No, I was talking to John there about the disappointed with the penalty takers yesterday. We should have had our best. Like, Milner should have took one of the early ones. Thought that he probably should have took one. And it's all about this Mignolet again. I mean, they just give him a contract. But every other week we're talking about him. And even everyone in the game now is already talking about his mistakes. So it can't go on, can it? It's got to be addressed. I just don't understand why they give him the new contract. I mean, what do you think of him? Do you think he's worth his place or what?
Well, at the end of the day, he's the best goalkeeper we've got at the moment. And I'll give him the credit. Yesterday, he fouled up for the goal, but he kept us in the game for a long, long period. Some of the saves, he made three or four outstanding saves, you know. He's an easy target, you know, for me sometimes. And I know he does make mistakes, but people are too quick to have a go at him. The penalties, you know, he couldn't get nowhere near. You know, they were just top-draw penalties from Manchester City, right in the corner. But we need someone to come in the summer. You know, it's obviously the manager doesn't fancy Bogdan. We've got young lad Ward coming, you know, getting better with age. But yeah, we do need someone to fight for the place, obviously. What do you think, Rob?
Well, I think, look, you were saying before, although in terms of how he made some fantastic saves, but he should be doing that anyway. I mean, that's what keepers are for, you know, you'd expect that. I mean, I always look at you, when you're playing against, I'll be careful how I say this, but when you're playing against teams who are not as good as you and you'd expect the keeper to be pulling off, you know, real good saves all the time. And that was the case with Liverpool yesterday. He made a mistake for the goal, you know, should never, ever have gone. He cannot score from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then he pulls off, you know, two or three good saves, which, you know, maybe stopped the game from, you know, being over and done, but he should be doing that anyway.
Tony, what do you reckon then? What's the way forward from here? I mean, surely you give him a contract because it sort of protects your financial, your asset, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when he was at Sunderland, he was brilliant. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I mean, like, John's right there. He hasn't had a proper defence in front of him for a long time. So, you know, it's to protect him, though. But like Robbie said there, though, I mean, Aguero should have scored them chances yesterday. I know he saved them, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, he would have netted them anyway. So, I don't know. Well, I just think you need to bring a good keeper in to compete with him anyway to get him on his toes. I think there's no one there at the minute, so, you know, as far as he's concerned, he can do anything, he'll be back on the team. So you need to bring someone in just as good as him, John, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm with you there, yeah, absolutely.
Just as good as him?
Well, better than him. I'd be buying myself from Southampton all day,
really. You know what, keeper, I would sign Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah, he's good.
I think he's an excellent keeper.
Yeah.
And is he going to be available? People are going to be picking the Leicester squads a bit.
If he wins the league, you don't know, do you? If they don't win the league.
You're right. Leicester are going to have some phone calls in the summer, yeah. Quite a few
to
players.
To be fair, he's been a revelation, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been brilliant. Yeah.
He's got everything about it. He's got the stature and he's technically he's very good as well. Yeah, it's a good shout. And the boy at Stoke, Butland, will get a mention as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. Tony, great to hear from you. Thank you very much indeed. Missed the start of that one. Was he on the train with you, was he?
Yeah, Tony's...
And were you on the way back, were you?
When we used to do obviously the shows at the grounds and the talkings afterwards, Tony was on every other week. Tony from Wavertree. Good lad. Yeah, good lad. And,
okay.
I had a chat to him yesterday.
Let's talk with the Blue. Let's go to McGull. Michael Brough, welcome to the show, Michael.
Hello, all right, Steve.
You okay, Sharpie's here as well? Do you want to talk about billionaires?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. Wouldn't mind knowing them.
Yeah.
All right, Graham.
Hi, Michael. Go on.
Graham, when we were saying about before, you know, when you were saying about what do the punters want, whether they want a new stadium or they want a successful team, my own opinion as a punter would be, like, I would think that the stadium would bring decent players and decent, you know, like entice good players, you know, from the infrastructure, from the ground level starting.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, for the first time in since the Premiership has been founded, this is the first time we can possibly compete with the big boys, couldn't it? You know, we could start paying top wages and, you know, and enticing big stars to come to the club, especially with a new ground, don't you think?
I just think, Michael, if I'm a player, you know, and I'm looking to move, the stadium's not going to attract me necessarily to the team. I look at Spain and Atletico Madrid, and their stadium's not the best, but they still attract players. I think, you know, what attracts players is the fact that, you know, the team's winning. You know, it's a successful team. So whilst I can understand what you're saying, for me personally, in a situation, you know, if Real Madrid were playing in, you know, the worst stadium in the world, but we're winning European Cups and everything else, I'd still go there. No, so I think the most important thing, for me personally, of course we need a stadium, a new stadium and everything else, but I just think that, you know, with this group of players we've got and the manager saying how good they can be, I think the most important do is to try and strengthen that and try and keep the players that we've got, you know, first and foremost, and then let's see where we're going. It's not going to happen overnight, but listen, we don't know what this new owner is going to do, what his priorities are going to be. But I certainly think trying to keep the players on side, you know, the Stones, Lukaku's, Bartley's of this world, especially with the European Championships coming up, I think that's the main focus, is try and keep them on board.
Yeah, plus he can obviously pay more, can't he?
Yeah.
We can obviously now say to these players, look, you know, we can pay you money, we can compete. You know, why do you want to go to somewhere like Man City or Man U or Chelsea or Arsenal or somewhere, when we can compete with you now? We can compete with them.
Well, Michael, it is, but you've got to be very careful as well that you don't just throw your eggs all in that basket and start throwing money about, you know, willy-nilly, and then you attract the wrong types, if you like. You know, they're just out for the money. You know, you obviously want to have a connection as well, but certainly looking on paper, it looks as if it puts us on a different level now, you know. But again, we don't know what his plans are, you know. What actually are his plans? We'll obviously find out, obviously, when he brings in. He's got Bill Kenwright still as chairman at the moment. I just think that, how long does that last? You know, is that only just for the first 6 months or whatever, then see what he wants to do? So we're a little bit in the dark at the moment, but certainly, you know, the reaction that got from the punters over the weekend was positive.
It was very, very good, and it's about time for us as well, isn't it, to be honest?
Yeah, definitely.
It's about time.
Nice one, Michael. Thanks very much for your call.
Cheers, Michael.
Cheers,
pal.
Cheers, bye.
Quarter past seven. It's buzz around the club, is there, today? Is that
again, it's
Sharpie?
The same thing. It's, you know, it's new investment. It's, you know, he's bought 49.9% shares, but we still don't know an awful lot about, you know, what his plans are. We know where he's come from and where he lives and where he's got his money from. He's been a shareholder at Arsenal. He sold his shares. He's moved... Listen, it's only early days. But we like to think it's positive.
Well, he knows about the Premier League. That's good.
I think he's bought 49.9%.
I think as far as I'm led to believe in what I read, although I think it's Robert Arrows and some of Bill's and some of John Wood's.
Okay.
That's what I've been led to believe. Yeah. Whether it's true or not, I'm not sure. Okay. But he's got that 49.9% now. Let's see where it takes us.
Yeah, it'll be very, very interesting to see where it goes from there. Just quickly turning back to Liverpool. So, all focus on the Europa League now. Presumably, takes a massive significance.
It's always massive, Steve.
In the season, but it becomes even bigger.
It's huge.
Can they go far enough? Not really shown enough in the Europa League so far this season, have they?
I don't know. I haven't spoken to Robbie about it, but you're looking at the squad and the way we just got past Augsburg. Have we got the potential, the potency to get through to the final? I'd have to say no. From what I've seen at the moment, but things happen, things change.
It's funny you're thinking that, because the bookmakers have got Liverpool down as third favourites to win it, you know.
Wow. For the Europa League? So ahead of Manchester United?
Well, you say surprised.
Well, I don't know who's won.
There's strong teams left in it. Borussia Dortmund are there. Sevilla are there, aren't they? There's plenty of big teams left in the competition. Spurs, who've just destroyed their opponents in the last round.
Yep.
You never know.
There's always a chance. Yeah. If the tide turns and all of a sudden Sturridge starts scoring goals and Rigi gets involved with goals, because we just don't score enough goals at Anfield, away from home, we can look very, very good.
You were talking about goals there. I think before yesterday, obviously it's one goal, but the last eight, nine games, Liverpool have scored 11 goals, and that's including a 6-0 Anfield.
So it was
its own story, yeah.
Yeah, but the league's gone. The top four's gone. Obviously, it looks like we're losing, we're going to go into the Europa Cup next year. But for me, it's you just don't want the season to flitter away. No. Everyone's got the FA Cup to look forward to. And we need something to look forward to. To beat Man United now is always going to be mega. But it's absolutely ginormous now for us to get past them.
Does that result yesterday free up another Europa League, please?
Well, it depends on the FA Cup, doesn't it? If the team that wins the FA Cup and finishes in the top four, that frees up enough. So you can go down as far as seven, I think, can't you?
Very, very interesting. Right, let's welcome our next caller, Gary. He's in West Derby, Everton fan. Hi, Gary.
You okay?
What do you want to talk about, Gary?
Just asking Graham, really. Obviously, with the investment that's coming now, everyone's really positive, obviously. Is it possible to keep hold of the likes of Stones and Lukaku if they offered them mega deals, do you think? I mean, obviously, we need to strengthen. If we've got X amounts of millions to spend in the summer, which apparently we have, Marquee signing up front would be great, obviously, but I think we've got a pretty decent squad. But as they're stating, ideally, we want to keep hold of the players we've got and push on. Do you think that's achievable to keep all the Stones for another season or two in Lukaku?
Well, you'd like to think. So I said at the beginning of the show, that's what you'd want to do, and set a purpose and say, right, OK, we're not letting MD go. But as Robbie said as well, it is really difficult to do that. If a player gets it in his mind that he wants to go, it doesn't matter how much you pay him, he'll have the last word. He'll decide whether he wants to go. And I would love to see the new fella coming in and saying, you're all staying. You're all on 5-year contracts. I think John Stone signed a new one. I'm not sure what Rom's got. I think Ross Barkley signed a new one. I'd love him to say, right, OK, for the next 2 years you're going to be here, but the European Championships, probably the wrong time for us. They all go there, play well. Stones will attract interest. Stones will attract interest. And at the end of the day, the boy will have the final say. What you don't want is, you tell him he's not going somewhere, then he throws his dummy out the pram, and you've got an unhappy player, which then affects the rest of the players in the dressing room. So it's a really, really difficult one. I'd like it to be that he comes in, invests in the squad, keeps the players that are already there, and then hopefully move on from there. But in this day and age, whether that happens or not, we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think obviously Most every player wants Champions League football.
Yeah.
It's the pinnacle of the career, isn't it, to play there. I just think, as a Joe Public, as you say, we can come in and guarantee and say, look, we're going to spend however many million in the summer. Here's an extra 3 years on top of your contract if it's needed. Here's an extra 25 grand a week or whatever. And make the promises, but act on the promises as well. I'd love to think that could happen.
There is a problem, a massive problem here, because obviously, like Liverpool's top players, 150 grand, whatever it is, with Sturridge, Everton's is around about 100, whatever it is. But unfortunately, Man City can just blow everyone out the water. It's just ridiculous what they do and what they can do. And if the player wants to go for money and wants to go to that club, rather than giving Everton, as I said before, to Sharpie, another year's grace to say, well, all right then, let's prove it. You bring the players in and I'll give another. I've been in the Champions League, I'll be loyal. But unfortunately, there's not a lot of loyalty in football no more. No, that's a shame, but that's the way it's gone.
Gary, we're going to have to move on. Going to squeeze one more call in. Thank you very much indeed, just before the end of the show. Just quickly, before we get to that next caller, once again, if you want to learn a little bit more about Robbie Fowler's Academy, open day on the 14th of March. All the info's on 5times.co.uk, 5times.co.uk. And in fact, there's a bit of a gala dinner being held at the Hilton in Liverpool on the 23rd of April, which is going to raise some money as well for the Academy. So great stuff as well. And, of course, the golf will come up. Hey, nice, John. Your microphone's on. The golf will come up on the 29th of April. That is the new Kendall Paisley Cup, which the five-time lads are running blue against red. Hopefully each show will have a different member of the team on. Let's take our final caller. It's John, who's in Chilwell. Hiya, John.
Hello, boys. How are we?
Hello, John.
Just 2 points. 2 points. I mean, I'm not saying we deserve to win the game yesterday, but I thought, I mean, I know we made a good save in the first half, Mingley, but I said to you a few weeks ago, and I've watched Liverpool for over 40 years, and I've seen keepers we've had, and, you know, I've seen, like, going back to Frankie Lane stepping over the line at Derby years ago, and, you know, the likes of Brad Jones. He is, without doubt, the worst regular number one we've ever had on our side. And what galls me is that we had a far better keeper in Rayner that we let go simply because he was on a mega contract. And the other point I'd like to make, I said to you I was a bit concerned over the centre-backs picking up Aguero on Friday night. Mm. I was a bit concerned. You know, this is how bad we've slipped. Lucas is, without doubt, our best centre-half. I don't mean there's any shadow of doubt about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, he had his best game for us yesterday. He was phenomenal yesterday, I thought.
He was Liverpool's man of the match by a country mile.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie, he was superb, wasn't he? It was an outstanding performance.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit worried before the game because, obviously, not because Lucas was playing, but because he's not, obviously, a regular centre-half and expecting the likes of City's players, you know, De Aguero, Silvers, and I thought he might have had a little bit too much pace for him, but... As Aldo said, he was by far Liverpool's best player. And look, to me, he was the best player on the pitch.
He read the game so well from the back. He'd seen everything in front of him. All right, what he lacks up in a little bit of pace, he had in his mind. He was quickly to get the ball. And I tell you what, how many headers did he win from free kicks, corners, coming into the box and general play?
Well, he set the tone early doors. Brilliant. It's the first 5-10 minutes where Man City had two free kicks on the near the corner flag on the same side, and he was the one who won the both headers.
Yeah,
played the
he
ball.
Did.
They wanted to stretch the game, but Liverpool didn't allow them to stretch the game.
Yeah. 30 seconds left. John, just very quickly before you go, who's going to win our golf, red or blue? Cash for kids.
I'll sit on the front and say Tramia.
I can't sit on the fence. Goodness me. Are you already getting the sense, Robbie? Sharpie, you're getting that vibe that there's going to be some proper competition going on here.
Well, I hope there's proper competition.
And I'll tell you what.
An honest competition.
I'll tell you what. I know he'll win the drinking competition afterwards.
Yeah, you lot.
Robbie Fowler, thank you very much. Aldo as well. Sharpie as well. Each and every show, we'll try and bring another contestant forward for you. That was the Legends.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Experts in motability. Search Williams BMW for their latest offer.
West Ham visit Goodison on Saturday, 5th of March. Kick-off 3 p.m. Tickets are now available to buy. Adult prices start at £35 with juniors from just £17. Don't miss out on live Premier League action on home turf in the second half of the season. Secure your seat now at evertonfc.com or call 556-1878.
There's a person who can spot threats in the sky before they become threats. They can reassemble a pistol in 15 seconds and maintain equipment so advanced most don't even know it exists. That person's you. There are more than 50 roles to choose from in the RAF. You'll receive world-class training to develop new and existing skills. And you can do it full-time as a regular or in your spare time as a reserve. Find your role in the RAF. Search RAF Recruitment now.
Sit back, take a deep breath, and relax. Enjoy peace of mind with repayments that won't change for at least 2 years. With a fixed rate mortgage from your local post office, apply today in branch, online, or over the phone, and feel your worries melt away. Post office money. Mortgages sorted. Post Office Money Mortgages are provided by Bank of Ireland UK. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
On your marks, get set, go shopping at TJ Hughes with men's Nike jog hoodies and pants from £22.99, up to £20 off RRP. And don't forget Mother's Day, Jimmy Choo Original 40ml was £24.99, now £18. And Victoria's Secret Fragrance Mist was £14, now £7.99. TJ's, Liverpool, Bootle, Birkenhead and Widnes.
TJ's, it's savvy shopping for you.
TJ's, the discount department store.
You've seen it in the press and on the news. The proposed PPI deadline. Could this be the end of the whole PPI mis-selling scandal? It's time running out for you to get your money back. For the last 5 years, Direct Redress have fought for their customers across the UK, winning back what's rightfully theirs. And all they need to help you is the name of your bank. Text WIN to 88802. That's WIN to 88802. Direct Redress. Experts in financial claims.
Annie, the world's favourite family musical, comes to Liverpool with me, Leslie Joseph, as the horrendous Miss Hannigan. This stunning new production comes to the Liverpool Empire from the 7th of March. For 1 week only, featuring some of the best musical numbers ever, including Hard Knock Life, Easy Street, I Don't Need Anything But You, and Tomorrow. Book your tickets today at anniethemusicaltour.uk. Don't miss Annie. You can bet your bottom dollar that you'll love it.
Exclusive offers on everything from Japanese meals to bungee jump deals. If it's worth saving money, it's worth a dabble. Dabble.co.uk. And that's dabble without the E.
With Thompson Cruises, you and your family can discover some of the world's most unique destinations. For the first time next winter, join us on an Arabian adventure as we sail from Dubai. Head to Rome in summer for picture postcard snaps of the Colosseum. Or if Gaudi's grand designs are more your thing, head for Barcelona. Sip sangria, tuck into tapas, and wander down the iconic Las Ramblas. With Thompson Cruises, you're spoiled for choice. To find out more, go online or visit your local Thompson shop. Adult protected.
Hampson Hughes, we give more back to you. Text HH to 600 66.
Hampson Hughes, give more back to you.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport. Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.